Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is Larry Luxner, Special Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the 2025 Cure Duchenne Futures Conference in San Antonio, Texas. Our guest today is Robert Steen of Oslo, Norway. Robert is the father of Matt Steen, who passed away on November 18, 2014, of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Thank you so much for joining us.
And good morning, Larry. It's nice to be on your podcast.
Thank you. You gave a pretty emotional presentation yesterday about your son and also about the movie, which is now winning awards on Netflix. Let's start by talking about the movie, since that is very much in the news right now.
It had its world premiere in January last year on Sundance in Park City. And that was the first time we showed it for an audience. And it won the audience award at Sundance. It won the director's award at Sundance. And that's in a way the start of a journey with the movie, which now have lasted for 16 months. And we have won awards at a numerous amount of film festivals. It has won awards in Europe, in Australia, in the US. And on the 1st of June, it will be handed the Peabody Award in Los Angeles. So that's coming up as the next one. It won the Oscars in Norway. It won the Emmy in Norway. Emmys are still not being decided here in the US yet. So it has really, I think, been recognized as a movie which people want to go and see.
Fantastic. In your presentation, you began with a very emotional reflection on the summer of 1989. You mentioned the fall of the Berlin Wall, the visit of Pope John Paul II to Norway, the uprising in Tiananmen Square, and also when you met your wife, Trude. And it sounded like a very nice love story. And then the birth of your son. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, all of these things that you just mentioned were, of course, highlights in international politics and also in Norway. But what I remember from that summer was that it was a bright and sunny summer. It was a lot of buzzing bees, birds. It was a fantastic summer because I think the most important thing for us was, of course, it was the summer when Mats was born. He was born at 2:24 in the morning on the 3rd of July, 1989. And that's when Trude and I became parents. So nothing else matters in that kind of happening in your life. It's so unique and still so normal. It is maybe the most emotional moment in your life. And I still remember that morning when I was standing with Mats in my hands, looking out of the windows, mirroring a father and a son at 3 o'clock in the morning in Oslo. Oslo is having a midnight sun at that time. So the morning was racing, I was looking out, and I was maybe the most happy man in the world. So that's when it started, this story, and which ended up then in this movie, which now is recognized all over the world.
And yet, only 4 years later, as you said, clouds came into your story, and the 17th of May, 1993, was the last so-called normal day of your lives.
Mm. Life is really a roller coaster, both emotionally and practically. During these 4 years, I think we experienced the happiest moment of our lives, but also the saddest moment of our lives. And I think we also touched upon it yesterday. It was the best of days and it was the worst of days. And the worst of days was actually the 18th of May, 1993 at 1 p.m. We got our diagnosis. Mats was born with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And as you can hear, we still remember the time, 1 p.m. 18th of May, 1993, when we got our diagnosis, and also this strong emotional message, the five words, there is no curative treatment.
And you knew that something was wrong because you were comparing it also with your daughter, Mia, who was already walking by that point.
Mia was born 15 months after Mats. And it was only when she was starting to walk and run that we saw it was a big difference to her older brother. She was the active one. Mats was sitting more or less stable, wanted to play games, sitting in the sandbox, not climbing trees, climbing rocks, not going to the more active part of playing. And we addressed this with the health personnel in Norway, but they said that we were just too worried. This would settle out. It didn't, and therefore we ended up in this situation on the 18th of May, 1993. We got the diagnosis. He had Duchenne.
And of course, at that time, there were no curative treatments. I want to jump a bit. Something you said that kind of struck me was that in talking about your son and how he spent his time, very interesting. You said, what we saw was a boy with a severe illness in a wheelchair in front of a screen our society has spent 5 minutes watching and 10 years condemning. Mm. As far as society was concerned, these kids were gaming and wasting time, when in fact, he wasn't wasting his time.
No, that's true. This movie that we're talking about, The Incredible Life of Iblin, is actually mirroring what Mats spent most of his life on. He was video gaming. His avatar was called Iblin. Therefore, the name of the movie.
Does that name have any significance?
I think it goes back to Ridley Scott's movie some years ago, The Lost Kingdom, which was from an area in Israel called Azeroth. And Iblin was one of those characters there. This, I believe, because I never got to ask Mats about this, because I didn't see the value that he experienced inside of this role game called World of Warcraft. There he met people. He had social interactions. He had love affairs. He had the feeling of being important for other people. He helped more or less 50 people when they were in dark moments in their lives. He spent 10 years in this role-playing world, which I have calculated must have been more than 20,000 hours.
And you had no idea?
I had no idea of the value. What I saw was that he was sitting in his wheelchair in front of the computer, and we were sad about this, that we couldn't provide anything else for him because we didn't see any purpose. We saw waste of time in front of that screen. And I think this is what also have made this movie so interesting for so many people in my generation, because my generation have never seen the value of social relationships created on these new technical or new digital platforms. For us, it was only about physical relationships, and we never recognized that relationships can be built as valuable and sometimes more valuable on the digital platforms than what we do in the physical world. For us, this was completely hidden. We didn't spend much time in understanding it. As I said, we spent 5 minutes analyzing the screen, and we have spent 10 years on condemning it.
From what you know at that time, how many boys in Norway had Duchenne?
I don't know in Norway, but in the greater Oslo region, and Oslo is the capital of Norway, it was 13. 13 other boys alive when Mats got his diagnosis, and we were linked up with these 13 boys. So the community was extremely small. And in 1993, when we got our diagnosis, we didn't have internet either. So we didn't have any way of communicating or building society with other Duchenne boys. We started to get emails. So we tried to send emails to people working in hospitals, people we knew was working in bigger environment, like here in the US. Sometimes we got an answer, sometimes we didn't get an answer. So in all, we felt fairly alone. We didn't have an organization like Cure Duchenne, like we have met here in Texas today and this weekend. And we were left alone. And I think a lot of people had that feeling, not only in 1993, but still have around.
Oh, absolutely. I've interviewed people in other countries, and particularly in the Middle East and Africa, who in many cases, their son with Duchenne is the only one in their country or their, certainly their province. Let me ask you a question. At some point in your presentation, you said that these efforts raised more than $2 million towards a cure for Duchenne.
Yeah.
How is that?
The film, which was premiered in Sundance in January 24, was immediately bought by Netflix for distribution after the world premiere in Park City. And it was premiered on Netflix on the 24th of October 2024, last year.
Were you at the premiere?
Well, the premiere was actually on television screens all over the world. So we had our television screen in London at that time, where they opened it. But at the same time, Blizzard, which is the company owning World of Warcraft, they launched or put a pet fox into the game. A fox with a Sherlock Holmes hat, which can follow you like a pet. And the reason for doing that is because the avatar of Mats, called Iblin, he had a ponytail and he had red hair, so he was often called the fox by his friends in the game. And he worked as a daytime private investigator in the role-playing game. And I think Mats did that primarily to meet people.
Did Mats create the character?
He created the character.
So it was all him?
It was all him, and he was called the fox, and he was a private investigator. So Blizzard then made this pet fox with a Sherlock Holmes hat to point towards Mats and his character, Iblin. And you could buy this fox for $20 for a period of 3 months. And more than 100,000 players have bought this fox. And all of that money has been transferred to Curie Duchenne, creating an additional financing for finding a cure of more than $2 million.
I want to talk about his specific disease. What was the nature of his Duchenne, or deletion or mutation?
Duchenne gradually takes away the strength of your muscles, to put it very simple. And taking away the strength of your muscles will also take away all of your physical abilities gradually. Mats and boys with Duchenne are born with all kind of functionality, all muscles intact, and gradually they are taken away. And in the end, Mats was not able to move anything else than his fingers. But through moving his fingers and having a special equipment for his computer, he could communicate, he could socialize, he could help, he could participate, he could be an active part in social relationships through his avatar of Iblin in this online gaming world.
Throughout his life, he was not on any treatment or medication?
No, not treatment or medication as such, because it was still early days for treatment and medications. Science hadn't come as far as it has today. So it was more the physical training, keeping his muscles flexible. He had more surgical kind of help. And also assistance when it comes to both wheelchairs, special equipment and these kind of things, but not medical now.
And so he was not on steroids either?
No.
We have only 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you what you think in the long term the impact of this movie will be.
Well, if you want to take the small part, this movie has raised more than $2 million for research. I'm convinced that this will bring the solution closer in time, which means that there will be boys that will be helped from this movie and from this story. And it is, from a parent's point of view, a good kind of way of idea that Mats, still today, 10 years after his passing, are contributing to finding a solution for other boys with the same disease.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Robert Steen of Oslo, Norway. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.